You're listening to a podcast from 702.
It's now 22 minutes to 2. We are talking about entomophagy. It's a term that was new to me, but it looks like eating insects, as we know, in fact, is as old as mankind. And it's believed that globally about 2 million people consume insects. It's a practice that's known as entomophagy. I was saying earlier that, you know, I didn't really have my lunch. I didn't want to have my lunch knowing that this conversation was coming up. I sat there watching a video with one of the CNN journalists who'd visited China, exploring how big this industry is there. And the journalist spent time with Mr. Wang. Mr. Wang runs a cockroach farm in China, and he makes millions. And he delivers into the market even more millions of cockroaches that filter into the food and pharmaceutical market. So it looks like there are plenty of opportunities, but there's also the question of overcoming negative attitudes about this. So let's start off by chatting to Natalie LeBlond, a category manager at Rentokil. And there was an initiative that came up here in Johannesburg last year, the Pesturant. Natalie, as Rentokil, why did you embark on this Pesturant?
Hi, Azania. Well, we looked at it from the perspective that as a pest control company, we obviously deal with pests and they have a very negative connotation for a lot of people. But there is also, you know, a different way of looking at them. So things like crickets, locusts, while they can be pests, they can also be a source of, you know, sustainable food, and are, as you said, in many places in the world, are already being used as sustainable food. So it was, you know, for us, it was a sort of a PR event mm-hmm. to kind of create some awareness around entomophagy and, you know, the eating of insects, and just to get people talking about Rentokil and talking about this as something a little bit different.
Yes, well, creative. I think it's definitely a creative marketing initiative. And you developed some really lovely treats for people for them to experience these insects.
There was lovely.
A scorpion encased lollipop?
There was, yeah, there was. Wow. The word lovely, I think some people might, you know, might question that, but it certainly got people talking. And what we did was we imported the insects from overseas because we couldn't find a local producer that, you know, was producing animals for human, insects for human consumption. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of places that will produce insects for animal feed, or for, you know, worms, for example, for fishing, but those aren't raised in an environment that, you know, you'd necessarily as a human consumer yes. would want to eat. So we found a supplier overseas, and we imported crickets, mealworms, buffalo worms, locusts, and then, as you say, some sort of sweet treats, some lollies with scorpions and crickets and locusts in a sort of a lolly type thing, and some sweets. And then, yeah, we used the insects in sort of some interesting ways. We put them into brownies with raised some eyebrows, and we made them into little crackers and, you know, sweet chili locusts. And then we also served them in bowls, just dry roasted, so people could actually taste what the insects tasted like on their own.
And what do they taste like? Is it a bland taste?
You know, the sort of most people said that they had a nutty flavor. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the crickets tasted a little bit like puffed wheat. They've got a sort of, they're very bland. They don't have a huge amount of taste on their own. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of, yeah, the most common things I heard was they taste like cereal. They taste like puffed wheat. They taste like popcorn, some people said. Oh. It's a sort of a slightly bland with a slightly nutty flavor.
Yeah, so nothing too extreme, something that will go with different palates.
Absolutely. And then what some of the suppliers are doing now, I think, to make it a little bit more interesting, is they're actually roasting them with like salt and vinegar. So you can get salt and vinegar flavored crickets, and then you nibble them like crisps or barbecue flavored, because, as I say, on their own, they really aren't actually that exciting.
Right. But they will be talking about attitudes in a short while, you know, and some of the nutritional benefits of different insects, because not all have nutritional benefits. But what were the attitudes you encountered? Because as Rentokil, you were there seeing the reaction.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. And we actually did two events. We did the one event in Johannesburg at Cresta. And then the year before that, we actually did a pop-up stand at the Good Food and Wine in Cape Town, which is where I am. And I found that the Good Food and Wine crowd were a lot more accepting and I think a lot more interested and sort of brave, if you like, in terms of trying things. But I think that also goes with the fact that you're at a Good Food and Wine show. So you're expecting something new, something a bit novel. Mm-hmm. The pop-up in Cresta, people were quite skeptical. You know, they sort of looked at us like we were crazy and they were like, what is this? And although having said that, once they actually tried the insects, again, they were quite like, okay, well, they don't really have a very strong taste, or they're not, you know, they're not. It's not horrible. It's quite bland. Mm. But I, as I say, I certainly found the sort of crowd at the Good Food and Wine much more open to trying something new than the people in the shopping centre. We had to work quite hard to convince the people in the shopping centre to give it a go.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights, Natalie.
An absolute pleasure.
Thank you. From Rentokil, they had a lovely marketing initiative called Pesturant. Maybe you visited their stand at the Good Food and Wine Festival. I'd love to hear from you. But right now, we're joining Dr. Salio Nise. He is the project manager at the University of Pretoria in the Postgraduate School of Agriculture. Now, they've put out a piece saying that eating insects has long made sense and it's been commonplace in practice across the African continent, and that the world must catch up. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, very interesting indeed that you've put this out, considering that from time to time we have initiatives like that of Natalie's. Let's start with the attitudes, which is where we ended off with Natalie. There's a case to be made about the nutritional benefits, you know, of certain insects, but there's still negative attitudes to overcome. What are some of these? What have you encountered?
First of all, I want to thank you first for inviting me for this program. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that I'm an insect scientist, and for a long period of time I've been studying insects, you know, affecting our crops, causing our disease, causing disease to human beings, and it's very recent when this issue of using insects as food and feed started, and this was championed by the FAO. Mm. This is because you know, Africa has been is a continent of a huge diversity of insects, but we have been colonized by Westerners, and by adopting the Westerners culture, we tend to forget or we tend to minimize the value of indigenous food. Mm-hmm. And it's only recently when people realize that, in fact, these insects that we are overlooking are rich in protein, and you can use them either for food or either for feed, you know, to feed the chickens, because most of the ingredients that we use actually to rear our chicken are imported, and we have the possibility to mass produce the insects to feed those, the chickens. So it's part of a new trend, okay, that is taking shape, but we need to re-educate our people. That's why in that article I was mentioning about the indigenous knowledge, the language, the names that we give to our insects. We don't necessarily call them insects in our mother tongue or in our language. We give them very nice names that we love. But as soon as it turns in the English or in the French way, when we say insects, people find them disgusting.
Yes. Give me some examples, Salio.
Oh, yeah. Some example. Okay, I gave one example of, if you see termites, you know. Mm-hmm. Every time we mention termites, we always think of this pest that is destroying our crops or our harvest in the backyard, you know, and our fences, you know, they are sometimes affected by these termites. But the word termite in the, you know, in so many African languages, like in the Bantu, you know, it's always tiswa or inswa, you know. And that, every time I meet an African man and I ask him, do you know about tiswa or inswa? They say, yes, they are very nice. I love them.
Yes.
But they don't imagine that these things are actually insects. And every time you talk about eating insects, it becomes disgusting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's about, as you said, re-educating and changing how we consider and what we think of this category. Let's go to John in Kempton Park. Hello, John.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, listen, the guy who just spoke to you also said what I wanted to say. But you know, in our local language, especially in South Africa, you have got Tindia, it's in Shitonga. You know Tindia, it's locust.
Yes.
In the rural areas, they eat them. They are very nutritious. You have got Tincha, I think is the what is referring to as termites. They fly at night, especially after heavy rains and all these other things. And I stay around Northern Park and Kempton Park. After rain, you see something like that, but they're a little bit not as big as the ones that are in the rural areas.
Yes.
When I look at them, you know, I know we used to eat them. My mother used to prepare them very nice, very nutritious. My father used to say, if you eat these things, you know, they've got this, you know, whitey stuff when you cook, you bry them, you know. He said, you know, they even make sure that you, if you eat them, you're going to be clever because they are brainy and all this. So I'm telling you, we used to eat them. It was very nice,
yes.
But as you, the other guy said, when you call them insects, even our kids, they don't know they call them insects. I think if we can have a good strategy, I think around the Kruger National Park and other remote rural areas, these things are still there. They can be harvested in large quantities. If I were to meet somebody selling them, I will buy them. They used to be nice. I don't know whether Mashonja will fall under its worms, whether are insects. They're very good, even doctor says, for pregnant women, they're very nutritious. So those things, look, depending on how we name them and the attitude we have towards them and how we tell people about this, they fall under what I would call indigenous, you know, goodies, you understand? Very nice.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Thank you so much for that call. And I do remember visiting Zimbabwe and having some of the, I still can't remember the name, but after the rain, they come out and they just all over. It's almost as if they come out of the nests, and the way they were prepared was absolutely delicious. So that's as and Masonja, I've had Masonja. So that's as far as I've gone. But I'd also love to take your calls on 011-883-0702-31702 for your SMS. Do you have misgivings or negative attitude about re-eating some of the insects that are out there, even though they have great nutritional value for us as human beings? And have you sampled a wide array? We'll take your calls on 011-883-0702.
883-0702.
Well, as my guest, Dr. Saluyo Nyasi, was saying, that the continent, the African continent, is home to the richest diversity of edible insects. There's more than 500 species, ranging from caterpillars, the termites, locusts, grasshoppers, crickets, ants, and bees that and beetles that we could eat, that are a great source of protein. Doc, one of the things that John mentioned made me curious about harvesting to mass produce this as a food source. How challenging is it?
Okay, for mass producing, it's not a big challenge because for some of the insects, you know, they feed on plants. They feed on trees that we know. So we know that we can keep them in cages, and we can keep them in an environment where the temperature and the humidity is controlled, and we can give them certain amount of food and collect the eggs, put the eggs in incubators and have them, you know, mass produced. But not all of them could be actually mass produced. Like, for instance, if you take the case of crickets, some certain species of crickets, you can easily mass produce them and have them in tons. In countries like Thailand and, you know, and some countries like in the US or even in Europe, they are mass producing these crickets and using their protein, the protein as food supplements. But for some other insects like the termites, like the giant crickets, there is still needs for research, actually, to uncover the secrets to mass produce them. Yeah.
Let's go to Itumeleng, calling from Pretoria. Itumeleng?
Hi, Aza. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Good thing. Yes. Just to end on a point on what John was saying. Yeah, and I mean, in the most part of Limpopo, I mean, where I grew up, we used to harvest them, and exactly the ones that John was mentioning, the ones that come after the rain. And, you know, you could also have them without even preparing them or cooking them in the sand. It's, I think there were the two types that came after the rain. You had the sort of like a blackish one that was a bit bigger. And then there were these other ones that looked a bit yellowish or brownish. I don't know what they're called, but I know we call them dinkamakura. Yes, I'm sure a lot of people from Limpopo will attest to this.
Yes, we're getting SMSs on that. Itumeleng, thank you so much for that call out in Pretoria. And then Wiseman, you're in Soshanguve. Mm. What's been your experience?
Hello.
Hi, Wiseman.
Fine, Nazania. Yes, look, I just wanted to comment about this. There's other insects that come from the ant hill. In Venda, we call them majuru or makeke.
Mm-hmm.
Very delicious. You know, you harvest them using a wet or moist reed, and also mashonja and the other ones. Yes. The other callers mentioned the tamakuras. I think those kind of insects. Obviously, I don't have knowledge about. The content of their proteins or vitamins or whatever, but I still believe that they are the ones that made us to be what we are today, very strong and healthy people as Africans.
Wiseman, thank you for the call.
Can I comment on that a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay. I think the gentleman who just spoke is referring to an insect called edible stink bug.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very common in Venda region and also in Zimbabwe particularly. The studies on the nutritional benefit, even the health benefits, have already been done.
Mm-hmm.
But these studies have been conducted in a very high, you know, profile scientific journal that is not accessible to, you know, common man language. Mm-hmm. So I think there is also this need of, let's say, translating the scientific research into a very simple information like common man's language so that the information is accessible to people.
Mm.
Actually, that insect, you know, contains a lot of, let's say, alkaloid and a lot of chemicals or components that are actually, that add benefit actually to people's, to your health actually if you consume them.
Yes.
And this is known, but it has to be actually, as I said, re-education is very important in this field.
Mm. Let's quickly hear from Samantha. Sam?
Hi,
yes.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm good. I just have a comment I wanted to share. I'm really excited that you guys are talking about eating insects.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of colleagues and I last year, we actually started a startup company around bringing insect cuisine to the Johannesburg area.
Oh, I see.
We do experience some of the troubles that the other callers have been talking about.
Mm.
It's really about educating people and telling people about the nutritional value. And, you know, once people open up their eyes and they see how sustainable this type of food is and how nutritious it is and how it can easily just be added to our everyday foods, and it just adds so much nutrition.
Yeah.
People really come around, and you can really make delicious food out of it.
Yes, and I guess maybe it takes one trying to kind of get over their reservations and their fears about it. Just try one, and then get more information, and I'm sure the attitude changes from there.
Yes, really. Often we just people we give people cricket cookies. And it's just like this flour, and you bake it into normal cookies. And once a person eats like a normal choc chip cookie, they're like, oh, it's hardly any different from a normal choc chip cookie, but it's so much more nutritious.
Absolutely. Yeah, Sam, thank you so much for that.
Indeed, this aspect of, the art of chief, the cordon bleu, or the French cuisine, or I don't know, these things have to be brought together. We have to invite all the chefs, the big chefs, actually, to try to, you know, insert or to integrate these high-value protein foods in new fashion, you know, to have some cupcakes, to have some chapatis, to have some kind of biscuits, you know, that are actually insect-based protein. This will encourage, actually, people to accept them more.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for your time. Thank you very much. That was Dr. Siluyu Nyasi, just guiding us through some of the work that he's been doing over the years. And, you know, I think a source of protein by any other name is still a source of protein.